Welcome to the teaching ministries of Pastor Joseph Victor. For more information, visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.
Christian walk is to walk with Christ, to walk with Christ. And the major aim of our spiritual walk is our spirituality, our eternity. Hallelujah. And I've always told you that morality and spirituality are two different things. They're not the same. Although your morality is an act, or could be an act of fellowship, could be an act of reverence to God, your morality is you acting the way God intended for you to act. Hallelujah. You get what I'm saying? Your morality is you doing, behaving, or being in the condition that God expects you to be in. But is different from the life of God in you. Okay. How many people have ever heard this? I did not give birth to a goat. I did not give birth to a goat. My child cannot be a goat. I've heard that before. Right? I'm a lion. My children, you have to be a lion. Maybe they probably give you a dirty slap for misbehaving. The fact is that there is a way you are expected to act. But whether you acted the way you are expected to act, or you did not act the way you are expected to act, that doesn't say you're no more the child of your father or your mother. Are you still here? Are you coming along with me? And so, spirituality, our relationship to God, is not determined by our moral standard or our moral walk. Although, or some will say, however, our spirituality, if we are wise enough, it would affect the way we act and talk, our morality. And this is the reason why I'm saying this. Because, you know, some people, once they hear, there was a video that we posted, I think 2 days or 3 days ago, where I was saying something like, what was the last one you posted? It was, your mistakes is not, like, God will not stop blessing you because of your mistake. And then there are some people that are very, they are very, because I did this, that's why God did this. And they are very law conscious. Apparently, of course, you can't please everybody. Got on somebody's nerve. And the person drops some kind of comment. So I just wanted to help as many people that will be hearing this. First things first is that we are very glad that we are reaching some people. You know? So, but this is it. I wish that this set of people would have sat down to digest the point of the message. Are you still here? Are you coming along with me? So I'm going to say that again and say it again until you receive it totally, if you haven't. Your mistakes, your sin, God is not blessing you now because of it. Remember, if God is doing anything now because of your mistake, that means he has forfeited the purpose of a judgment day. Is somebody still here? That's the first lesson you should take. The reason why you do things now and get away with it is because there is a judgment day. So that's why God is not doing anything right now. So nobody's being punished. Neither is anybody being blessed now. God is not doing anything. What God has done is he has poured out his blessing. And he has set principles so that if anything bad or evil befalls you because of what you have done wrong or what you are doing wrong or what you will do right, it's not God doing it. It's just a principle he has set. Because he's not even dealing with us right now. And I always wonder that I wish people know who God really is. People think God is one elderly man. How many people have thought about God to be that way? Don't lie. Don't lie now. Let me see your hands. You thought about God to be one old man somewhere that's very wise. And they think God is that way. That's why they constantly want to feel like God will just punish you or bless you. Do you know who God is? This whole earth, anyone in this country has been on a plane? Or at least as here. Well, not everyone in this country. If you're not an indigenous of this country like me, you understand? And you are here, that means you've been on a plane. Now, if you've been on a plane and you're looking at the down, before they go past the first cloud, the first heavens. So many times when the Bible say heavens, it's talking about the clouds. Sometimes it's not talking about anything spiritual. So we need to know that too. But anyway, before you get away from the first cloud, the first heavens, when you look down, what do you see? Do you see everything is like from up? You can just begin to, if you had the power, all the people that have done you wrong, you can see them and just be giving them. Because from the top, everything here looks very small. Very small. As a matter of fact, if you go all the way and probably use a telescope that can cut through the clouds, you will see that the earth is just small, somewhere there. Now, the earth, as big as it is, look at how small we are on earth, how we individually is small. And this big earth is like a dust in the presence of God. Like before God, I'm trying to explain to you how big God is. But you know, God loves us so much, yet he can just come to us as somebody that's like us. But even God, you can't behold him. That's why the scripture says that he pleased him to dwell in Jesus. So you won't go to heaven and see God. You can't see God. The God, the Father. You can't see him. So the person you're going to see is God the Son. God is pleased to dwell in Jesus. So when you see Jesus, or you have seen Jesus, or the people who saw Jesus, even in his glorified state, wow, you cannot imagine, okay, wow, that's God. But if you know God, if God even show you a sign of him, and you know he's the one, just imagine you're the only one in your room or in your house, and next thing, maybe you're just trying to sleep, and next thing you just hear wind just pass. And you have a glimpse that it's God. Of course, if you're a Christian, you'll be happy, you know. But if you have been making some kind of mistake, you know, you'll not be so happy, you know. But anyway, that one is, well, I just wanted to help us with that just in case. Because if one person is suffering from something, it's not the only one. Somebody else might also be. So I just said, let me dash you guys that one. Today, I was going to come here and give you like different steps to multiplying yourself. Now, before I get into that, the reason why I brought that up is because I wanted to explain also to you that our main walk with Christ is our spiritual walk and our spiritual eternity. Our eternity, right? But you see, like I explained on Sunday, I said, you cannot be a child of God on earth and not make it on earth. I'm not saying be the richest person. No. And if you are the richest person, there's nothing wrong with it either. But I'm saying, like, you have to live a good life on earth so that you can be able to tell somebody else that God is real. You can't be the one begging and telling people God is real. They will say, which God are you talking about? You know? So that's why God wants you to function well as a human. He didn't create a human being to suffer. He created a human being to function well. Are you still here? So apart, when you're talking about morality, they said vanity upon vanity. Even your morality is what? Is vanity. Is somebody still here? When you get to heaven, is there morality in heaven? You know that when you get to heaven, there's no sin. How many people know that? In the spiritual, there's no sin. Because you believe in another consciousness. How did sin come out? How did we come about sin on earth? It was a consciousness. I explained this before. I taught this before. How many people remember? When I talked about the consciousness that Adam and Eve had, and then when they ate the apple, whatever fruit, I keep saying apple, they got another consciousness, a different kind of consciousness, the knowledge of good and evil, a different consciousness. Hallelujah. And I gave an example about, I used something to give an example about consciousness. I can't remember the example, but as we go along. Anyway, so when you get to heaven, as a child of God, you think you're going to be thinking about sin? There's no sin there. You're going to be living forever. There's no sin. You're not going to be committing sin. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Have you ever thought about that before? Trumpet sound now. Bam, ba, you know? And then you make it to heaven. You go to heaven. Whoosh, appear in heaven. God has judged you. You are not in heaven. You think when you're there, you're going to be worrying about sin? You're not. Or, okay, maybe we should now serve God the seventh day, we should keep it holy, or we should not do this, or we should do that. You think that's what you're going to be thinking about? That's not it. You're going to have a different consciousness. They said, what makes somebody do, or somebody, no one does a thing without thinking about it. You have to be in that conscious state to do anything. So you're going to have a different consciousness. A different consciousness. I explained to you before how that there's this sinner that's not born again that normally commit a particular kind of sin. Let's use stealing, for instance. Kleptomaniac. It's always stealing. There's no way it goes to, or she goes to, that something will not miss. Then this person heard the message of the gospel, gave his or her life to Christ, knows that that thing is wrong, but don't know how to stop it. The person really genuinely wants to stop it, but once they just get to somewhere, something will just miss. Now, when this person start being around the gospel, hearing the word of God, surrounding themselves with the word of God, eventually, the person will look back and realize that it's been a long time I stole. Why did the person stop stealing? The person has gotten a different consciousness. So when, and I explained this before, I'm just trying to refresh your memory before we move on. When you give your life to Christ and you become born again, what the next thing God is working on your life, that's why it says surround yourself with the word of God, is your consciousness. If your mindset is changed, everything will change. Everything about you will change. Anyway, I don't want to go too deep in that one either, so that we can hit what we want to hit today. So, I was talking about vanity. So, the same way wealth, money is vanity, that's the same way poverty is vanity. If you get to heaven, there's no rich man and poor man in the spirits. So, that money, that no money is vanity. That morality, that immorality is vanity. It's here that all those things count. That's why your morality and spirituality are two different things. So, spend more time building your spirit than spending more time doing any other thing. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be moral. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't make it in life. Now, but the reason why I'm going to teach you on how to multiply, because I wanted to make it make sense. The reason I'm going to teach you on how to multiply yourself, your wealth, your skills, your talent. The reason why I'm going to teach you how to multiply it is so that you can function the way God wants you to function. The reason why. Should I tell you something that some people don't like to hear? I'll tell you. Hopefully you like to hear it. There is such a thing as the world wealth. The world wealth. That means you go to school, you get a job, or you do business, you know how to do business, you obey some principles, you get it. Are you still here? But there is also another wealth that it is being entrusted into your hands. There are some wealth that are entrusted to your hand. Do you know why the wealth will be entrusted to your hand? Because you know what to do with it. Because you're going to do God's bidding with it. Are you still here? Please pay attention. All this I'm saying, I don't even know that I came to say it. What I want to say, I will still say. Let's just finish this one. So, I'll repeat that phrase again. There is the world wealth. It's not like it's a sinful wealth, though. That's different. I mean, the principle of this world wealth. That means you work, you make money. You invest, you reap. You put money at the right time during trade. You bring it out at the right time. You make more money. You know, there is that. But there's also something we call entrusted wealth. The one God entrusts into your hand. This one, you know that it's not what you are doing that's giving you money. That what you are doing cannot give you this money. You know. But somehow, you're just making the money through what you're doing. Because money is not going to fall from heaven. You know what I'm saying? But through what you're doing, you'll just be making more money. But you don't even know how. The money, like you don't even know, like you cannot account, you cannot honestly account and say, because I did this, because I know this, that is why this is happening. Those are called entrusted wealth. And most times, 100% of the time, 99.9% of the time, this happens because you have proven beyond reasonable doubt to God, of course, that when money comes into your hands, you know what to do with it. You do the right thing with it. You spread the gospel with it. And now, if you are in this category, even when things look down, don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Because God cannot leave you stranded. You understand what I'm saying? I've never worried about money. Even when I did not always have physical cash. I did not always have money in my bank. As much as sometime in the past, my bank was negative. But I never worried about it. Do you know why? Because I know what to do with money when it comes. As far back as two decades ago, between a decade and two decades ago, I'm not that old. So now, I remember then, when somebody saying, oh, somebody made $500 million, he went to win lottery, and then after 1 year, the money has finished. I said, how? I said, let them not give me 500. 500 million, I said 1,000. Let them not give me 500 million. Let them give me only two inside, and give me 10 years, only 2 million. Are you still here? Because we know what to do with it. We know what to do with it. Did you hear what I just said now? Did you hear what I just said? So if you want an entrusted wealth, brothers and sisters, if you want an entrusted wealth, know what you're doing with it. And put your money where your heart is. If your heart is in the gospel, put your money there. And how many people know I'm not saying this so that you bring money to church? How many people know that? Do you know that? I'm not saying this so that you bring money here. That's not what I'm saying. And you know, I would never say this and ask for offering. Mm-mm. But, and it doesn't even have to be here. You can decide, you know what? I want to do an outreach. Let me start doing an outreach. Put your money, put your treasure where your heart is. You can do an independent outreach so that it don't look as if the church is asking you for money. Just do an independent outreach. Reach out to people. Preach the gospel. People who give other people things, don't just give them things. Give them, then teach them about Jesus. And see how far he can bring you. Remember, we don't want to do anything because we want God to bless us. All right. So that's why I want to teach you this thing that has been working for me. It has been working for me. I wanted to come here and lay down steps. Step one, do this. Step two, we might still do it this month. But I want to show you something that works for me. And I went all this whole teaching and circles because I want you to understand it when it comes. I want you to take it seriously. That's why. Let's go to Genesis chapter 11. We're going to read from 1 to 9. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 9. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you brought me. Whoa, see how far you brought me. All right. Devin, can you refresh that capture, that depth of capture now? Can you reset it for us, please? Thank you. I don't know why you pressed the wrong thing first. You want to scatter our broadcast. Okay. All right. So, this one is saying, now, remember I told you last week that there was a story about the Tower of Babel, right? And I said one day we'll look at it. So, let's just read that. Then, from there, I'll give you what has been working for me for a very long time. Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass Yes. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stones, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in the heavens. This is another thing that they have taught us wrong. When I was learning this as a child, they made us believe that human beings were trying to build the Tower of Babel to go to heaven, so they'll be coming to heaven and going down. That's not what this is saying. We have learned many, many wrong things, Sha, but we'll correct them. And the tower whose top is in the heavens. So what he's talking about here is that the top will be inside the sky. You remember I told you about the first heaven, like the cloud. Like they're trying to build the tower so that they don't have to go far. They will know that all their clan is in that building. That's what they're trying to do. It's not that they were trying to go and meet God and come down and meet God. That was what they made us believe. But that wasn't the issue. The major thing was they were trying to not scatter abroad. They wanted to be in one place. That whole city, that whole village, that whole people. Let us make a name for ourselves. Have you seen it? Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. But you see, God's plan was that humans, we read the assignment of God, right? God's plan is that humans should replenish and take over the earth. All right? But these people didn't want to follow God's plan. They wanted to just build that tower and everybody lives in there. But verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. You see, the Lord came down. Because where the Lord is, you cannot build a house and get there. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Verse 6. Let me quickly put verse 6 here. But the Lord came down to see. Okay. Verse 6. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. 7. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the earth, of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Okay, we have read it. So the first thing first is that what brings growth, what brings multiplication is unity. Without the unity, there can't be multiplication. So the next thing is, how does this apply to your life, to your particular life? We are spirit. We have a soul, and we lived in a body, correct? When the Lord was saying, let us go down and scatter their language, who was God talking to? That's an assignment. Go do your research. Let me continue with my teaching. So now, what has been working for me, and couple of other people I know, right, is that your spirit, your soul, your body must be working towards one goal. How many people do you know there are many human beings that their spirit, soul, and body are divided? That's why they are failing. Because every human being can do anything you want to do. You can achieve anything you want to achieve. But the reason why many people are failing is because their spirit, soul, and body are not united in one cause. So yes, they are in their mind or in their spirit, they want to be like this. But their body is not cooperating. Or they know they want to be like this, but they are doubting themselves in their mind. And so because of the doubt, they are not able to put in 100. Anyone who puts in 100 can achieve whatever they want to achieve in this life. Anybody who puts in 100. Let me expand on that before we pray, briefly. So what I'm saying in essence is, you want to multiply, you want to grow, you want to multiply. What unity is growth. So now, if you want to grow, your spirit, soul, and body has to be unified in one cause. And when your spirit, soul, and body is unified in one cause, we know, because we see the actions you take. When your spirit, soul, and body is unified in one cause, when you are totally 100% certain, do you know that you have sleepless night until you catch that thing that you want? If someone is still here, you have sleepless night until you get it. You'll be like, all your focus, all your mind will be on that thing. Until that is done, nothing else will be done. Will you still be doing other things? Yeah, you will. But all your mind will just be there because you are 100% on that mission. Your spirit, soul, and body. That means they wake you up. The first thing that comes to your mind is the mission. You are sleeping. The last thing on your mind is that mission, whatever it is. Every explanation you are giving, you will always bring that mission into it. Whatever it is, that goal, whatever you're trying to multiply. Because it's now embedded in you. That's why some people would not sleep. They would not sleep. They are on the computer figuring things out. They are on, well, computer nowadays, no more libraries like that. Well, there are libraries, but people would rather do Google than go and find a book. They are like on a research spree until they get that thing done. Why? Because they have totally agreed that this, I must do it, must be done. Come with me. So if you want to grow, you want to multiply, whatever it is that you want to multiply or grow in, you have to be dedicated 100% to it. Did you understand what I said? You get it? This has been working a great deal for somebody like me and some other people that I know. And there are things, there are some people I know that today, whatever they were doing at the time, you know that they are very good at it. Why? Because they spent majority of their concentration getting to find out about it. Are you still here? So you have to be unified in your thoughts, your spirit, soul, and body. Everything about you have to know that this, we are moving it forward. So this is similar to faith. This is very similar to faith. This thing is going to have to happen. This thing we are moving forward. So, regardless of what the situation is, regardless of what they are saying or they are not saying, you just know that this is my priority. This one, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to keep doing it, and I will find a way out. There has to be a way. There's always a way. So that's the message I came to. share with you today. You have to focus. Focus on this thing that you want to multiply. What has God placed in your hand that you want to multiply? Focus on it. Put your concentration in it. Make sure your spirit is willing to go with it. Make sure your soul is 100% into it. Make sure your body is working towards it. And you will see growth, like exponentially. You will see it. And some of you might be wondering, but I don't have a means to get this done. I want to really do this, but I don't have a means to get it done. Are you a child of God? If you are, you can get it done. The means will come out. All you need to do is just pray. Just keep praying about it. When I mean pray, I don't mean keep begging God to do it. Keep praying about it. Keep sending in words into the spirit, into the atmosphere. Just send out words every now and then. Every now and then. And few weeks, months, years later, you're going to turn back and be like, wow, it really happened. It works. The means to get it done will come. Nothing can be held back from you. You're a child of God. You're a son of a king. So nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. You're the only one that can stop yourself. I remember I gave that example in that video. I said, somebody who's running, if something hits his leg and it falls, what will stop the guy from running? If he doesn't get up and keep running. But some people don't have sense to realize that. That the only thing that can stop you is you. The stone, the fall can be mistake, can be error, can be sin. Are you still here? That stopped you from running. But the only time you would not progress is when you stayed there. So that's why I say you are the one that can stop yourself. Nobody is stopping anybody. No mistake can stop you. You're the one that can stop yourself. If you did something wrong and you fell, what do? Get up, look yourself up, and continue running. That's it. That's how we do it. Hallelujah. You are a child of God. Nothing can. I wish you understand what I'm saying. You can achieve anything you want to achieve in this life. Anything. Anything you want to achieve. You have the power. You are a child of God. And you're not achieving it because you did God any favor. These are things God did for you without you even asking. Before you were born, God did it for you. All you need to just step into it. Take your place. Know your right. And go and achieve it. There's no way what? Just start kabashing and just start speaking it forth. And eventually, way will just come out. You know, the way God works, He works in mysterious ways. Mysterious ways to the unbeliever. But we know His ways. We can just wake up tomorrow morning and somebody will have just deposited like 5 million in our account. You understand? And we'll be like, where is money coming from? They'll be like, it's one job you did like 2 years ago, 3 years ago that we did not pay you. We'll be like, wow. An idea can just come to your head. You can just wake up, an idea will just come to your head. You just get an idea. God works in these ways. You can just wake up and something will just happen for you. Something that you never thought was possible. It will just happen. And that will just make your life so easy. That's why one of the steps we're going to look at eventually will be the importance of prayer. Importance of prayer. Importance of prayer. Prayer in our multiplication. Importance of prayer. Very important. Very important. Rise up to your feet and let's pray. I just wanted to water the ground, you know, and explain to you that your spirit, your soul, your body has to be in one course in order to multiply. As we go along, we start talking about prayer and some other things that will be necessary in this journey. Just lift up your voice. I begin to thank Him for His word. Thank Him for His word. Thank Him. Thank Him. Just begin to thank Him for His word. I would never remain the same again. He says, we will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life has changed. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life has changed. Assignment in this life to touch people, to help people to come out from one state into like where God wants them to be. Even if tomorrow you're not here, I want you to know in your heart, I want you to have moved from where you were when you met us to another place. I saw a young lady recently, last week or 2 weeks ago. And she said, while she was with us, that she learned to walk and work hard. And that has pushed her to where she doesn't beg anybody for anything. Because I remember her then, she always needed something. But she got to a point, I know you know what I'm talking about. She got to a point where she was the one now helping people. That's why I want to get everybody to. So when I teach you these things, I'm not teaching you because I need your money. I don't. I'm teaching you this thing because I'm trying to take you from where you are to somewhere. So if I ever call you and say, come, when was the last time you gave? Don't think I want to take your money. I don't want to. I'm trying to help you. Hallelujah. Just begin to say, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Even until the service started, we didn't even know what we were going to hear from you. But thank you for how you took us and how you taught us today. I want to give anybody an opportunity. You want to give your life to Christ. You're not born again. And you want to be a child of God. I want to give you an opportunity. Wherever you are, there's no distance. You can be born again now in like 10 seconds. Just repeat this prayer after me if you're one of them. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that you died for my sin. I confess the same with my mouth. I confess that you are the Lord of my life. I believe that God is. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Congratulations if you just made that prayer. You're born again. Go and live in the fullness of God's grace. Reach out to us. We'd like to help you grow. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. These messages that we hear and the one we have heard today is pushing us to another level in life. In the name of Jesus. Our spiritual walk, our physical walk is all glorifying your holy name. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah.
I believe you've been blessed by this ministration. If you want to reach out to us, connect with us, or partner with us, kindly visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.